Good afternoon, Your Honor. Joshua Fikowski and William Gonzalez on behalf of the state.
Hi, Judge. Good afternoon. Larry McNeil on behalf of Michael Abbott. And Mr. Abbott is also.
Mr. McNeil,
are
you going to stand?
I can, Judge. Sure.
Are you okay today?
I'm fine, yes.
Okay. All right. And Mr. Abbott is also.
It's just kind of suffocating behind this mask.
Yes, it's the way of the world. I know. I've got to wear it every day, 5 days a week when I'm here throughout the entire hearing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. And Mr. Abbott is here. Mr. Pikowski, on behalf of the state, are you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And Mr. McMillan, are you ready to proceed as well?
Yes, Your Honor, Judge.
All right. Can I get a roadmap from you guys in terms of starting with the state? Do you plan to call?
Yes, Judge. We're calling Officer
Eric Plasko. And, well, first we're calling Officer Pina Perez.
Alejandro Pina Perez. And we're calling Officer Eric Plasko.
Okay, and Mr. McMillan?
Judge, I have my client, but we'll see as the hearing progresses whether he actually testifies.
Okay.
And I also have my client's wife.
Okay, and is she sitting behind you?
Yes.
Okay. And is she's Mrs. Abbott?
Yes.
Her first name?
Sasha. With a Z.
S-H-A.
Z.
Z-A-S-A, excuse me, Z-A-S-C-H-A.
Sasha. Okay, thank you. All right, anyone invoking the rule?
Yes, Judge, I would.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, I'm going to ask all witnesses who are going to be testifying on this matter, please. Wait outside. Greg will come get you when it is time for you to be heard.
Judge, well, we have two motions. We have the motion for declaration of immunity and dismissal, which was filed February 24, 2021. And we have also filed our motion to dismiss, which was filed September 4, 2020. The motion for declaration of immunity essentially was referred to as a standard round motion. The motion to dismiss is based upon Fourth Amendment and search and seizure law. But I think the facts and the circumstances are basically going to apply equally to both, but I think it's necessary for the court to understand the Fourth Amendment law as it applies in light of the standard ground and the analysis, and I believe that's explained in each of the motions. We have also, Judge, filed judicial notice. I'm not sure if you ever had an opportunity to see those.
So what I have is your motions for declaration of immunity and dismissal, which is filed 224-2021. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I have a motion to dismiss filed 9-4-2020. And that's it.
Right.
Do you have the judicial orders?
Judge, was he filed on
11/15? When was it filed?
All right, report's been pulled.
11/15/2021.
And for the record, we're on page 16, Michael Abbott, that's 24932.
Right, one is filed November 15, 2021. And one is filed November 24, 2021.
All right. Does one supersede the other?
No.
They're making two separate requests. So one
That's
is Coral Gables Florida Code of Ordinance 34169. And then the other is Miami Dade County.
That's
case
point.
Number P15-38580, and that's just the docket for the misdemeanor cases that were not State any objection to taking judicial notice of the Coral Gables Code of Ordinance, specifically 34168?
Your Honor.
All right, and the court's also going to take judicial notice of B15-3580. So those motions are granted. The court is taking judicial notice. And then as to the motion to dismiss and the motion for immunity, statutory immunity, i.e. stand your ground, I'm going to allow the parties to present their evidence, any testimony, and then the court will be able to proceed and rule on those motions. Are there any additional arguments or comments before we get started, Mr. Miller?
Judge, if you've had an opportunity to review each motion, I think it lays out basically in abbreviated fashion the facts and the circumstances that I think will be presented here this afternoon, and in addition to the law. So I don't think an opening statement is necessary.
I agree, Your Honor.
To get started,
State Police Yes, Judge. State calls Officer Pino Perez.
Judge, I apologize just briefly. The court is finding that the burden is sufficiently shifted to the state?
Yes.
Thank you, Judge.
Please state your name.
Alejandro Pino Perez.
Where are you currently employed?
Coral Gables Police Department.
How long have you worked for the police department?
For approximately 2 years and 4 months.
Was there anything else you did before that?
I worked for the Florida Highway Patrol. I was employed by them for 4.5 years.
What did you do for Florida Highway Patrol?
Traffic. Just a regular state trooper.
And what do you do for Coral Gables?
Uniform Patrol Division.
Were you employed on the night of March 24th, 2020?
Yes, sir.
What were you doing that night?
I was patrolling Zone 3, which is the sector between Cortez all the way to south of 257 and from A Street to Coral Way.
Okay. And at any point, did you come across someone by the name of Michael Abbott?
I did.
Did you see him in the courtroom today?
Yes, sir.
Can you please describe him by an article of clothing?
He's wearing a suit sitting next to his lawyer.
The record reflects that the witness has identified the defendant. Officer, how did you become involved in this case?
So, on March 24th, I was dispatched to 1303 Vernon Street in reference to a loud noise coming from a vehicle that was parked in the driveway.
What did you observe when you arrived on scene?
While I was driving westbound on the 1400 block of Venetian, I was driving my windows down. It was my first week off of FTO, so I wasn't really familiar with the area. As I'm driving towards Ferdinand, I had my driver window down and I heard the music playing from a pickup truck. When I looked to my left, I had passed the pickup truck already, but I observed a gray Toyota with off-board doors open and a male sitting in the passenger seat of the vehicle.
Where did you park when you arrived on scene?
So once I arrived on scene, I noticed that I passed the vehicle. I proceeded to reverse and I parked in front of the Toyota Tacoma, but on the city road.
Were you in uniform that night?
I was.
Were you in your police vehicle?
Yes, sir.
So as you arrived on scene, what happened next?
I exited my vehicle and I proceeded to speak with a passenger who was sitting in the right on the front passenger seat. The male was wearing a white T-shirt. Since the door was fully open, I wasn't going to get around because right next to the door it was a fence. The music was still playing loud. I attempted to talk to Mr. Michael. At this point, he exited his vehicle in a hostile manner and by screaming, "Get the fuck off my property." By the second or third time that he yelled, "Get off my fucking property," I attempted to de-escalate the situation by taking a step back towards the sidewalk.
Okay, I want to ask, can you like further describe the defendant's demeanor as soon as you arrived? What observations did you make about the defendant?
He was angry I was there.
What did you do after you told him to turn the music off the first time?
I attempted to talk to him, telling him to lower the music. He wasn't talking back to me, and as soon as he exited the vehicle, that's when he started yelling at me to get off this fucking property.
What happened after that?
I took a step back to attempt to de-escalate the situation. He was still concerned that the tip of my shoes were still touching his property as he proceeded towards his residence and entered through the laundry room.
Where were you when you say you stepped back? Where did you step back to?
The sidewalk.
So after these attempts and you stepped back, what did you do?
I'm sorry?
After the attempts to have the defendant turn off the music, what did you do once you stepped back?
Once I stepped back, he went into the house.
Okay.
He just ignored everything and rushed into the house. So at that moment, I stayed by my vehicle and the oak trees that he has planted there. And due to his demeanor, I just requested for a backup officer.
One second, Your Honor. Officer, I'm showing you a picture. Do you recognize this picture?
Yes.
What is this picture?
That's Mr. Michael Abbott's residence.
Can you point out where you were when you said you attempted to de-escalate the situation?
So when I attempted to de-escalate the situation, I was over there in front of his pickup truck.
So you can point to it on the...
Yeah, once he told me to get off his fucking property, by the third time, he stepped back, and I was right there on the corner.
Wait.
Hold on.
Why are you trying to hold the phone? He can get up and just walk around.
My judgment, it blocks my client view.
He can get up.
Okay.
So he can see. He can get up. It's easier for him to move around than to start moving furniture.
Okay.
Mr. Abbott, if you like, if you want to sit closer so you can hear the witness's testimony, just, I hate to use these words, Mr. McMillan knows what I mean, but have a seat in the box. But I think it's easier because then he can sit and he can hear it.
Right.
Start your questioning over again, please.
Yes, sir. So when you attempted to de-escalate the situation, where did you walk to on this picture?
Right here on this corner.
So you pointed at the sidewalk?
Yes, sir. Which is located right in front of his vehicle.
Officer, did you call for backup that night?
I did.
And why did you call for backup?
Due to his demeanor.
Who was the officer that arrived?
Officer Plesko.
Once Officer Plesko arrived, what did you observe the defendant do?
Once Officer Plesko arrived, I was standing by the first or second oak tree that he has planted on the swale. Officer Plesko arrived. As he was exiting the vehicle, Mr. Michael was exiting his residence through the laundry door. He had a GoPro on his hands with a chest mount. He was attempting to turn on the GoPro. I'm not sure if he was ever able to turn it on or not. I believe Officer Plesko informed him if he could lower the music. That's when he turned around and said, if you don't get off my property, I'm going to shoot you guys. Or I'm going to shoot you. I'll have to refer back to the exact wording.
Where did the defendant say this statement? Where was the defendant when he made this statement?
Can I point to the picture?
Sure.
When he made the statement, he was standing around here.
On the bricks?
Correct. As he was turning around, going towards the stairs, he turned around and started saying, get off my property, and by the time he gets to this door right here, that's when he says, if you don't get off my property, I'm going to shoot you, and he rushes into the house.
And where were you when you made the statement?
I was standing right here by the oak tree.
Officer, what happened after he made the statement?
After he made the statement that he rushed into the house, me and Officer Plesko, we took a tactical stance in front of his laundry room by the stairs. Officer Plesko began announcing himself, Corrigueros Police, Corrigueros Police. As he was announcing himself, that's when Mr. Michael Abbott punched Officer Plesko in the face.
Can you explain what a tactical stance is?
A tactical stance is when you have your firearm ready and you're just standing there in case a threat happens.
So once you approached the house, what room did the defendant go to?
Sorry?
Once you approached the house, where did the defendant go? Where was the defendant?
I don't know where he was inside the house.
But you're saying he was inside the house?
He was inside the house.
Can you describe the visibility of the steps and the room that you were in front of?
I don't remember.
Were you aware of the layout of the house?
No.
Earlier you mentioned the battery. Can you further describe what happened as soon as you got up to the steps?
As soon as we got up to the steps, that's when Officer Plesko started announcing himself.
And then what happened after that?
The defendant punched Plesko in the face. And after Plesko got punched in the face, he was able to push him off. And when I saw that he holstered his weapon, I went ahead and I didn't see any that he didn't carry any firearms with him, I went ahead and holstered my weapon as well.
Did the punch happen inside or outside the house?
It was by the door. We weren't inside the house. We never made entry until he was punched.
Where were you when Officer Plesko got punched?
I was behind Officer Plesko.
Did you enter the house before the defendant punched Officer Plesko?
No.
What happened after this?
After Plesko pushed the defendant I believe that the defendant tripped to the right, which he fell into there's a window with a wooden frame that when he fell, his head struck the wooden frame, and that's what caused the laceration to the, I'm not sure if it was the head or the forehead.
Were you hit by the defendant, Michael Abbott?
During the struggle, I was hit in the head. My hat flew off, but I can't tell you which hand happened with or how it happened.
What were your injuries?
Didn't have any injuries.
1 minute to confer, Your Honor. No further questions.
Okay, Judge, may I proceed? Okay. Officer Pino, you were working a one-man unit and a marked unit on March 24, 2020, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you had recently finished your FTO?
Yes, sir.
In fact, that week was your first week alone with the Coral Gables Police Department, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you explain what FTO is?
FTO is field training. When an officer starts in a new department, you have go through a phases. It could be learning the area, learning how to use their system, and see how you progress throughout the phases.
So like an introductory to that department and policing in that department. Would that be accurate?
Yes, sir.
And you had completed your FTO, so that was the first week that you were riding alone in the city of Coral Gables, right?
Yes, sir.
And previously you worked with the Florida Highway Patrol, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And with the Florida Highway Patrol, you did uniform traffic enforcement?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever interact with residences, businesses, as a Florida Highway Patrol trooper?
Not for those complaints. The only time that you would interact with a resident is to do a hit-and-run investigation You go to the person's house, but nothing much, nothing else.
So in your 5 years, you hadn't any experience in responding to calls to people's residences. Would that be accurate?
Correct.
What were you driving at night?
I was driving a Crown Vic, vehicle 341.
Okay, and that's a sedan?
Four-door
sedan car?
Yeah.
Let me show you what's in evidence as defense exhibit A.
A1.
A1 for ID, but exhibit A?
Yes.
So exhibit A. Is that your police car?
Yes, sir.
Is that where you parked the car when you arrived at Mr. Abbott's residence on that evening?
Most likely.
You're not sure?
No, I'm not sure if I moved it when everyone was taking pictures, but I knew I parked on it as well.
And behind your police car, do you see the gray pickup truck?
Yes, sir.
But you believe that's where you parked your car?
Most likely.
Your unit code that evening was Charlie 103, is that correct?
Yes, sir. It was three song. I'm currently working midnights, so every night it could change. It could be 203, 303, 403.
But what I'm saying is on March 24, 2020, your unit code was Charlie 103. Have you listened to the police transmission tapes?
No.
Have you looked at the CAD reports in the city of Coral Gables? Have you ever looked at or seen CAD reports in the city of Coral Gables? Mark something for identification. I'm not sure if you previously to today.
In fact, before you
I'm going to show it to him. I'm going to show it to him now. Pino, let me show you what's marked as...
For the record, no objection from the state.
That's in evidence. That's defendant's exhibit B composite.
Can you take a look at that?
Is there a date here at the top center of the page? Is that the same date as this incident? Does it also list the various officers that were working on that date, March 24th, 2020?
Yes, sir.
Do you see your name on there?
Mm-hmm.
And does it give a department ID and a unit code?
Yes, sir.
What was your department ID?
4129.
And what was your unit?
4123.
Back on March 24, 2020, the City of Coral Gables did not issue to the officers any bodywear cameras, is that correct?
Correct.
Back on March 24, 2020, the City of Coral Gables did not issue or have marked units with dashboard cameras, is that correct?
Correct.
And you said on direct you were wearing your Coral Gables uniform?
Yes, sir.
Same uniform that you have on here this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
And you were equipped with a Glock 17 9mm?
Yes, sir.
You had a taser?
Yes.
What's a taser?
An electrical discharge tool. It locks your muscles in order for you when you have a combative subject.
And you also had a knife?
Yes, sir.
Inside your police car, did you have a shotgun?
No, sir.
Do you have any other weapons in your car?
At the time, I did not.
On March 24, 2020, you were dispatched at 2209:47. Is that correct?
I don't remember.
Let me show you a communications event report, which is in evidence as defendant's exhibit B composite. Take a look at that and tell me if you recognize that.
Yes, sir.
What is this?
So, this will be the times the call was received when I was dispatched.
And you said your unit was Charlie 103?
Correct.
And your employee ID was 11429?
Correct.
And does it show on there your dispatch time?
Yes, sir.
What time is that?
22:09:47.
What time is that?
It's 10:09.
10:09? And that's in zone 3 Coral Gables, right?
Yes, sir.
And the dispatch was for a 34 police code?
For a disturbance.
And the actual disturbance, which you come to find out, was a loud music call, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you were the first officer to arrive on that scene?
Yes, sir.
And you arrived 3 minutes after the dispatch, is that correct? At 22:12:45?
I don't remember.
When you arrive on the scene in the City of Coral Gables, were you taught that you have to acknowledge to the dispatcher your arrival time?
Yes.
How is that done?
You could either say it on the radio and say arrival, or you could do the self arrival on the computer.
And when you say you can do it on the computer, is that just the laptop in the car, or can you also do that with your radio that you have on your person?
Yes, you could do it with your radio or with a laptop.
Looking again at defendant's exhibit B composite, can you take a look there and tell me if you see your arrival time? What time is your arrival time?
10:12.
That's 22:12:45. And your testimony is that you were traveling westbound on Venetian, is that right?
Yes.
So as you're traveling westbound, the house, 1303 Ferdinand, is going to be on your left, is that right?
Yes.
And you were riding with your windows down?
My driver, the window, yeah.
Okay. At what point did you hear the loud music?
As I was passing the pickup truck.
As you were passing. So you were directly parallel with the truck when you heard the loud music?
Yes.
Okay. And then at that point, you backed up and then parked?
Yes, sir.
And you got out of the car. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you said that you approached the truck, but you weren't able to get very close because there was a fence. Is that right? Where was that fence?
It was next to the pickup truck. The passenger door was completely open, and then there was a fence next to it.
Next to the passenger side?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me show you what's in evidence as state's defense exhibit A. Can you take a look at that? Tell me what you see. Yeah. What do you see in the
pickup truck?
You see the pickup truck? Is that the truck that the loud music was playing?
Yes, sir.
Is that truck in the position that it was when you arrived at that residence on March 24th at 10:09?
Yeah.
And you see the passenger side of the truck?
Yeah.
In that photograph, show me where there is a fence that obstructed your ability to approach that truck on the passenger side of the truck. Where?
Where?
Okay, so you're... Can you put a mark there? Is that accurate? Yes. And you heard that loud music from inside your vehicle, right?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Abbott, turn that music down.
Negative.
Were the doors of that truck open?
Yes.
Which doors?
All four doors.
And were they cracked open or wide open?
Wide open.
All four doors were wide open?
Yes.
In that picture, are any of the doors open?
No.
Did you close those doors?
No.
Do you know who closed those doors? Did you make a determination as to how far from the house that music could be heard?
No.
Describe how loud the music was.
I was able to hear the music from my vehicle.
And you today have a microphone that's hanging down off of your right shoulder, down to the center of your chest, and I imagine there's a radio on your hip or on your back somewhere?
Yes, sir.
Did you have that with you on March 24, 2020?
Yes.
Did you communicate with dispatch at that point?
Yes.
After you arrived and Mr. Abbott told you that he did not want you on his property, is that what he said?
Yes.
That was pretty clear?
Yes.
You didn't have a warrant, did you?
No.
You didn't have probable cause to make any sort of arrest?
No.
And Mr. Abbott was on his personal property?
Correct.
Personal? So you didn't have any right to be there, is that correct?
Correct.
So he asked you to just get off his property?
Yes.
And within 10 seconds of speaking to Mr. Abbott, you get on the dispatch and you communicate with dispatch, is that correct?
Yes.
Where were you standing when you did that?
By the between my vehicle and the oak tree.
Let me show you State's Exhibit Number 1 and Defense Exhibit A. Can you see both of those pictures?
Yes.
Other than Defense Exhibit A being taken during the daylight hours and State's Exhibit 1 being taken in the evening hours, is there any difference in what appears in the photograph? As far as the landscaping?
It's just the landscaping.
Right, but is the oak tree the same in States 1 and Defense A? Defendant's Exhibit Number 1, is this the oak tree that you were standing next to?
Yes.
Looking at Defendant's Exhibit A, do you see that oak tree in that exhibit?
No.
How far would you say the oak tree is from the truck?
On the head to it's approximately 50 feet.
Not sure. And is the oak tree that you see in Defense Exhibit A, is that the oak tree that you see in State's Exhibit 1?
Like I said, on this picture, it's closer to the driveway.
But you don't see any oak tree closer to your vehicle?
No, what you see is just the branches. The branches right here.
Do you know whether or not this is the oak tree you were standing next to?
Yeah, that was between my vehicle and the oak tree.
Okay. And so you can see on State's Exhibit Number 1, you can see the top of the bridge they got from there. So you were on the west side of the oak tree, is that right?
The east side.
East side, I'm sorry. And you believe that is 50 feet, like five car lengths?
Approximately. I'm not sure how close to this, but I'll say approximately 50 feet, or it could be less.
Okay. And from that tree, you could hear the radio?
I was able to listen to the radio when I was driving by.
No, my question is, when you were standing near the oak tree, were you still able to hear the loud music?
Yes.
Clearly?
Yes.
And it was loud?
Sure.
And at that point, while you're standing there next to that oak tree, you get on the dispatch, right? And you tell the dispatcher at approximately 22:12 and 50 seconds, you come on the dispatch, and you tell me if this is correct or not. QSL, the gentleman for the pickup truck is not going to be cooperation. He just walked inside his house. And then you say something that's unintelligible. Do you remember saying that?
That was there.
Does that have an audio? Have you never listened to the...
No, sir.
You guys have the audio of the police transmission?
Mr. McNaughton, all of these items, it sounds like new items that you intend to introduce that the state has not heard. But are additional items foreseen?
Judge, I think I may have filed a defense exhibit list with the...
Check on that. And Mr. Gonzalez, good afternoon. I see you're here. I noticed the showcase earlier.
Yes, sir.
Can you check it? Because what I'd like to do, Mr. McMillan,
yep.
If there's a number of items, if they have not seen them for the first time, then I'd like to take a moment and give them an opportunity to review those things. If this is the last one, then we can push through.
I know they sent me the 911. I don't recall if attached to the 911 is also their police transmission.
And this is the dispatch, the communications with the dispatcher.
Correct.
Are there going to be additional items of evidence that you're going to be seeking to introduce that have not been stipulated to and that they can come from the state?
Mm-hmm. I don't believe so.
Well, would you know? So, yes or no?
I, Judge, I have quite extensive cross examination here.
Okay.
I mean
that's fine, but what I don't want to do is, as we go through things, we've got to stop, gather evidence, share.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go through everything, talk to the state, make sure they have everything, and then we can do a smooth transition as you seek to move them into evidence, and either they will be prepared to stipulate or to make whatever argument, so we don't have to. Stop at each juncture, and this cross-examination can go smoothly without interruption. So I'm going to take a five-minute recess. If you need less time, then you can come get me in chambers.
Okay.
So you can go through everything and